Okay, we'll be reading today from New King James Version, 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. As each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the domination forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you.
Appreciate your presence so much. We always honored to be able to come together to worship here, and especially when we come together and see so many visitors with us. I want to mention just a few. I won't get everyone, but first of all, we have the children's home here with us, Casey, and I have not met everyone. I could not remember your name if I had, but Casey and all you young men and the house parents, y'all hold a very special place in our heart. The congregation here loves y'all. We love the work that you do, and you've always got a family here. You're welcome to be here any and every opportunity that you have. We hope that y'all have a good day with us. We're looking forward to it ourselves. After worship service, everyone is welcome to go to the back for a fellowship meal. And then I think we've got some gifts back there that we're going to exchange for our young men, and we appreciate them so very much. But we have other visitors as well, and you're honored, and you're welcome to stay and eat with us and be here every opportunity that you have. Nick and I laugh sometimes, and he brings up the point that I have said before, if you're looking for a church home, you can stop looking. You found it. Make this your home. Be here. We'll be glad to help you and encourage you and include you in our worship service. And you will find that this is a good place to be. Even though they don't have that great of a preacher, that's a lot of good people here. And we appreciate you for being here. I got to say something, not to embarrass anyone, but you know, I do not remember y'all's names, but either way, the ladies that work here at the medical clinic, they're here today. Meet them. They're from this community. They want to be a part of this community. And I told them I've been looking for a doctor anyway, and they show up here at church. You can't beat that at all. And proud y'all are here so very much, everybody that's here. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I sat down this morning with a thank you card that Brummett gave us, and I looked at it, and I started to write down what I wanted to say, and I didn't write it down for several reasons, because I knew Greg couldn't read my writing, and I can't spell that good, and as bad as I am at talking, my writing's 10 times worse. You know, this journey started a while back. I thank every one of you. I remember a few months back, I called on this congregation to pray. I called on this congregation to pray for my dad, that he would come back to church and that he would get his life where it needed to be with God. And I believe with all my heart you did that. If y'all remember Father's Day, he come forward. And he missed one time since he come forward. He was getting ready for a procedure the next day, and he couldn't be here. Last Sunday, he waited on the table. Wednesday night, he sat behind me when Nick was teaching, and Dad spoke out. I don't know if he spoke up where everybody could hear. I don't remember, but He was involved. Appreciate Nick so very much for stepping up, leading the singing. I appreciate the three elders for leading the prayers yesterday. And I can't say enough about the two Jacobs. They're just part of my family, and they were going to be pallbearers if they would accept that, and they did. And I appreciate them so much for honoring that. all the flyers, all the gifts, the food. It was too much. I said a few weeks ago how much I love y'all. The love grows stronger every day. It's nothing I wouldn't do for you. I told Wendy last night when we got home from the Christmas party at work, I said our family is dwindling down. But then we both looked at each other and we thought about you. And it's not. Our family's growing. And that's what we want to do here at Tresman. We want to grow our family. We want our family, you, to be a part of this family. Because I'm telling you, not as a preacher, if you don't know me, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart a few years ago when I lost my son, this congregation responded in full force. The other night when I found, or Daniel and Charlie found Dad, and we found out Dad had passed away, this congregation responded in full force. The love, the comfort, the picking me up, picking my family up, saying we're going to get through this. And we did. So let's grow our family here. And if you're looking for a good family, this is your family. Give us a chance. We got problems. We do. You know, we've got issues from time to time. We'll laugh together. We'll love each other. And none of us is perfect. I don't think you'll find a person in this congregation that thinks they are. We're not perfect, but we're striving. We're striving for perfection. We're wanting to be perfect. The only way that we can meet that perfection is through Jesus. And that's what we preach and that's what we teach here, is Jesus. And we want you to be a part of it. On to the lesson. Life can be hard. Without a doubt, life can be hard. I talk to so many of you and you talk to me. And as we think about life and we think about the challenges that we have in life, we can have some hard times. There can be things that come our way that drag us down. There can be things that come our way that hit us just as hard as it can, and we don't know how we're going to go on. It's so easy sometimes when problems occur and when things happen to us that we blame someone. That when we think about the problems, the issues that we may face, we want to blame someone, we want to retaliate, we want to return evil for evil. That we want to say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I'm not going to stand for this. And I think, and Dad used it here a while back, I think David was teaching class, And Dad spoke up, or maybe I was teaching class, and David made a comment. Doesn't matter. Dad spoke up and said this. He said, when Peter pulled his sword, he wasn't aiming for the ear. And I remember Dad saying that night, and Peter wasn't aiming for the ear. So it's in us, and we know about that, because as good as Peter was, Peter pulled the sword, and he was ready to kill. So how is it that as we live life and these things happen to us, how do we not return evil for evil? You know, it's very difficult, but we as Christians, it's a daily thing we have to do. A challenge every day in our life that we look at our lives. You know, Paul said, examine yourselves. What he meant by that was look inside your own life, look at your heart, see where you stand with God. See how your relationship with God is. We're supposed to do it every Sunday before we partake of the Lord's Supper. We're encouraged, we're commanded to look inside ourselves before we partake of the Lord's Supper so that we don't eat and drink damnation to our own soul. Paul said, I keep a check on myself. I watch myself because I do not want to fall. So when I preach today and when I bring up the points I'm going to bring up, I'm not saying I've mastered this, and I'm not saying that anyone here has mastered this, because I think it's a daily walk every day of our life that we look at ourselves, we examine ourselves, we keep a watch on our own lives, and we say, I struggle in this area. You know what's going to help us to be a stronger Christian? Is to recognize where we're weak. And where I'm weak is where I've got to guard, John Henry, even more than the other areas, because I know if I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall here. So what do we do about the evil? What do we do when bad things happen to us? How do we respond? Responding in righteousness is what we're talking about. Wouldn't it be great, Casey, if every day of our life that the first thing that popped to our mind was, I'm going to respond in righteousness? It would be great when that car pulls out in front of you and he drives 50 feet and puts his blinker on, or better yet, don't put his blinker on, and ready to turn. It would be great to say, oh, I hope he has a blessed day. I'm thankful I could slow down so he could get where he was going. That's tough, isn't it? It's tough to think that way. It's tough to say, I'm going to respond in righteousness. I want to be good. But it would be great, Casey, if we could. So I've got a few suggestions this morning. Maybe write them down. Maybe you remember them. Maybe we work on them. Maybe when we leave here today, we say, oh, Tim, you know, that's some good ones, but I don't know about that. Well, remember them anyway. Think about them. Carry them with you. See if they'll help us as we think about our daily walk, and can I respond in righteousness when we're challenged every day of our life? First of all, it's going to help us. The first thing that's going to help us is this. A Christian has to control our tongue. And that's hard. It's hard to control your tongue. Now we could talk and we could preach, and it would be a good point, and I'm going to mention it because of our guest and because of the young people here. I'm going to cover this for just a second. But we could talk all day on the things we say. In other words, cussing and swearing and gossip and making fun of people and all the things we could talk about that the tongue is so dangerous for. Oh, many sermons have been preached on that tongue. Matter of fact, James deals with it in great depth. He said, how powerful that little part of your body is. A small member of the body, and how much damage it does. Well, I'm going to tell you people something. Once it comes out, it is out there. You can wish, David, all day long you could pull it back, but it is out there. It's, as the Turtle Man says, it's live action. And it is. I've told y'all about my mishaps in my life preaching. I'll probably do one today. Nick called me on something this week, sitting in his office, didn't even think about what I was saying, and it come out, and he had a comment about it. But I told you one time, I was teaching a class at Rones Creek at Independence I was at. The book, I was reading out of the book, it said Jewish rabbis. I didn't know what rabbis was. I call it Jewish rabbis. The song leader thought I called it Jewish rabbits. The whole congregation was laughing. I didn't understand. It was embarrassing. It was a mistake. It was Tim that should have paid more attention when Miss Mary was teaching me in fourth grade, but I didn't. So once you say something and you got it out there in front of everybody, you've done hurt it and you can't take it back. Now we laugh about the rabbis, but how many times do we say those things is hurtful? And we do it out of spite. I was challenged with something yesterday. And I won't say what it is. A lot of you know what it is. I was challenged with something yesterday that I had to make a decision on. And I still struggle with the decision that I made. But the reason I made the decision I made about yesterday was the only other course would have been I would have stopped it because of spite and hatred. I thought I would be better off saying yes for God. Not for Tim, because Tim wanted to say no. I wanted to stand my ground and say, you're not doing this. No. But for God, I said yes. It was tough. I was challenged. Some people challenged me about it. But you know what was worse than the people? It was Satan. It was Satan that bothered me the most. So when we think about decisions we make and we think about the life that we live, and I make plenty of wrong ones, and yesterday may have been, I don't know. But as we think about our decisions we make, we've got to choose, we've got to respond for God. It can't be something inside ourselves that we want to hurt someone when we respond. We can't look at someone with hatred in our heart and in our mind and say, this is where I stand. But I'm going to tell you something. Those people, what they need more than anything else, and if you want to tune me out after this, remember this. What those people need more than anything else is the Lord. And we've got Him. And they don't. They could have Him because He opened the invitation to everyone. And He said, if you will come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, you take My yoke upon you. You take it. See, Jesus has opened the invitation for each and every one of us. And hopefully the difference between us as we learn and we struggle in life and we work every day of our life to respond in righteousness, that we hold on to this idea, that we think about it, why would I respond that way? Why would I say those things to people? Is it for self or is it for God? Number two. Not only does a Christian have to control his tongue, a Christian has to turn away from evil. Monty Paul read for us this morning the text. I'm not going to go back and reread it, but as you think about what he read this morning, the Christian turns away from evil. You know, the implication is that one can know the difference between good and evil. You know, if we're going to be able to turn away from evil, then we got to be able to know the difference between what is good and what's evil. So part of knowing is that we've got to understand the Bible. We've got to understand God's will and God's wishes and God's desire for us. What kind of person does He want us to be? Now, if we struggle with that, we can turn to God's Word and we can learn exactly what God wants us to be and how He wants us to live and the standard in which we are to live. But the problem is sometimes people get evil in their lives and they're trying to ride the fence. We're trying to say, I want to be a Christian and I want to do these other things as well. No, Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon. You got to choose. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, I think it's verse 14 and 15, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, right in there. It says, I had rather you be cold or I'd rather you be hot. Jesus says, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of My mouth. Now what is that saying? What does that say to us as Christians? He's telling us that we've got to know the difference between good and evil, and we've got to choose. Now I'm going to tell you, when you choose good and you choose God, that doesn't mean you're perfect. But what it does mean is you're going to challenge yourself not to follow Satan. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard. It's hard. I've got enough of my daddy in me. It's hard not to grit your teeth sometimes. and say, no, this is my fight. But it's a lot easier to lean on God. Lean on your brothers and lean on your sisters. And turn away from evil. You know, men can find themselves in a state of moral confusion. Some people may lose the ability to discern between both good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. You know, but the Christian, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Christian abstains from evil. And I think it says the very appearance of evil. In other words, if we're going this way, Nick, and we're walking down the road and something looks bad and it looks like we're going to get in a mess over here and Satan is covered up right here, what does me and Nick need to do? We need to go back over here. We need to get back on this side because that's evil. And Paul is saying you abstain, you run from it, the very appearance of evil. And young people, that's hard to do because the world is telling us today this is fun and this is enjoyable and this is cool. These are the things that make you more popular. It's going to make you better and happier in life. You hold on to this sin right here, it doesn't matter. After all, who cares what God says? Oh, I get so worked up when I watch some of these talk shows. Oh, I can't hardly stand it. They had a preacher on there here a while back. I forgot what show it was. It happened on Oprah years ago, and it was another one I was watching the other day, and they had a Baptist preacher on there, and he brought up the Bible, and they shut him down so quick. They didn't want to hear what God had to do. So the problem that we face today is that the world is telling us, don't worry about what God says. Don't worry about the Bible. You do this. I'm going to tell you something. Read the Bible, because Paul says you run and you abstain from everything that looks like it's evil. You avoid it. You're going to be so much happier if you do. You're going to be so much happier if you'll keep that sin out of your life and you don't allow it to take over your life. That you pull back and say, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to live as a Christian. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are to learn to hate evil. Not people. We don't hate people, but we hate evil. And we hate that evil overcomes people. And what we've got to do is what y'all done for us this year. You prayed. You prayed that the lost will come back to God. And folks, the Christian has to turn away from evil. The third thing, in responding in righteousness, the Christian does good. At the end of the day, I've got to choose to do good. At the end of the day, you've got to choose to do good. It doesn't mean you don't have the thought. It don't mean that you want to necessarily do whatever is standing in front of you, but you've got to choose what's best in God's sight. Well, Tim, that's hard to do, but folks, that's where faith comes in. We've got to have faith that it makes a difference. We've got to have faith that we're doing what God wants. We've got to have faith that God is going to reward us, that he's going to help us overcome it, that he's going to help us through it. You know, Paul stressed the importance of doing good in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And you know, I hear people say sometimes, not here necessarily, I'm not talking about that, but over the years of 30 years of preaching and working at congregations and different things, I've heard people say, you know, well, there's nothing to do. You know, our kids say that sometimes. You know, Christmas morning, be paper everywhere, boxes everywhere. We'll be stepping on toys and all the different things. And, you know, after an hour or two, 3 hours, whatever it takes, I don't know, for the kids to settle down. Worst thing you hear on Christmas Day, a kid comes in and says, I'm bored. there's nothing to do. Well, let me tell you something. We can carry some stuff back. Santa Claus come back and get it. I know him. And we won't have to worry about it. But you know, when we think about someone that says there's nothing to do, you know that happens in the church too. It happens in adults too. There's nothing I can do for God. There's nothing I can do for the church. And if we don't say that, we may blame the church itself and say, you know, they won't do anything. I want to be involved. I want to help. But let me call off a few things for you. I'm not going to read all these verses. I'll call you some verses out. It's found in Galatians chapter 6. But I will read verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now that covers everybody, y'all. It does. Let us do good to all men, especially unto them, those of the household of faith. So when we think about the importance of doing good and we wonder that sometimes there's nothing to do, you know, it's good, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it's good to restore the erring. Now, if you want to do good and you need something to do that's good, help restore those who are erring. Help restore those who have wandered away. Help restore those that does not have God in their life or walked away from God. You don't have to wait for someone to tell you. It don't have to be an organized thing. It can be you as a person that loves, that wants to respond in righteousness, that I want to restore the erring. I want to do all that I can. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it's good to bear people's burdens. When someone is struggling and they got a lot on their plate, they're carrying a heavy load, it is so good, Nick, for us to help them bear that burden. Paul says that. You keep right on going. Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 9. It basically said it's good to support the preaching of the gospel. To be an encourager, to help. Acts 9 and verse 36, it's good to help those in physical need. The sick, those that can't help themselves. You know, it's funny how life turns out. I know I told y'all about Jay when he first got cancer. I didn't want him to lay down. I didn't want him to stop. Then he found out he was going to die, and I told him, I said, son, you do for yourself as long as you can. When you get to where you can't, we'll take care of you. Dad was so worried about moving back in to his house. He wanted to. And we was getting ready to move him back in, and I asked him, I said, Dad, do you want to go home? Well, he said, yeah, son, you know I do. I said, and you're welcome to stay with me and Wendy. But your house is ready if you want to go home. He said, I want to go home. And I told him the same thing I told Jay. I said, Daddy, you do for yourself as long as you can. When you get to where you can't, we will. You know, there's times in life that people need help with those physical things. They get to where they can't. Some of my and daddy's greatest discussions in the last 6 months was once a month when I got the bank statement. When I would start to balance his checkbook, that was the greatest discussions that we had. He did not understand why the bank couldn't get it right. They are professional, son. They ought to be able to do this. Daddy, let me look over it. I'm sure you made a mistake. I didn't, son. He would pull his little flip phone out. And he said, every time I write a check, look here, there's a calculator on here. He said, I do the math right here every time with this little calculator. I said, Daddy, let's find it. Every month, we'd spend 2 or 3 hours, and we would balance his checkbook. There gets a point in people's life where they got to have help. And I'm going to tell you something. Part of returning or responding in righteousness is helping those people that need that help. It's not making fun of them. It's not stepping on them when they're down. It's helping lift them up. And then fourth and final, I won't spend any time on this because Casey wants to talk, and I know everybody wants to get to the meal in the back. But the fourth and final thing is the Christian seeks peace in our life. Seek peace. Find contentment. Be happy with life. Be happy with the things you have. Could you have more? Absolutely. You could always have more, but I'm going to tell you something. You could always have less. You got aches and pains. Be content. Sure, you don't want any aches and pains, but I tell you what, it could be worse. It could be a lot worse. It can always be worse. But God blesses us every day. And I suggest to you this morning that He's blessed us here today, that we're all here together. No one has harmed us. The heat works in the building. Plenty of food in the back. Smiles on our faces. People love each other. People care about each other. And we're about to stand and sing a song. And when we stand and sing that song, this congregation will be praying for anyone that's in this congregation that needs to respond. We're going to be praying not that we can make fun of you that you failed. We're going to be praying because we love you so much that we want you to come home, that we want you to come back to the Lord. We want you to come to God. If you've never come to Jesus, let me tell you real quick how simple it is to come to the Lord. You have got to recognize and you've got to have faith in God. And I know that everyone in here has faith in God today, or you wouldn't be here. That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm going to tell you something, that belief can change your life. It's changed many thousands and millions of lives. Because it drives us to the point that we respond with righteousness. And is that not really what repentance is? That we turn away from evil and we say, I am going to start walking and living for God, and my life is going to be dedicated to correcting myself and fighting and clawing and trying to get to heaven. That's what repentance is. Turning away. Just like I said a while ago, me and Nick walking this way, there's evil. Oops, let's go this way. It's safer. Get sin out of your life. That's what repentance is. Confess today that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Folks, that's forgiveness of sins. That's where we meet the blood of Jesus, through our obedience. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. After Peter had preached that day, and I've said before, I would love to have been there and heard Peter talk that day, because what he done, he had a multitude, thousands of people standing out there, and he was bold. And he stood in front of them, he said, y'all have crucified the Lord and the Savior and the King. And they were pricked in their heart. They didn't get mad, they didn't retaliate, they didn't do any of those things. They heard the word of God and they said, what have we got to do to be saved? And Peter said, you repent. There's that word we used a few minutes ago. You repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Boy, that's beautiful. That is beautiful and that's wonderful. That no matter what you've done in your life, look, folks, they killed the Lord. That's what they had done. They hung him on that tree. Is that not simple? It really is, isn't it? Because Peter spoke, said, look, you want to be saved, here's what you do. It ain't, well, there's no hope for you. It would have been bad, Nars, if that verse would say, well, you blew it. It didn't say you blew it. It said, here's what you do. And you can do the same thing today. There may be something in your mind today that's going to keep you from stepping out of that aisle, and I'm going to be praying that you will push it out of your mind and you'll step out, that you'll become a Christian. And I'm going to be praying, and I know others will too, that if you're already a Christian and you've wandered away from God, that you come home. Folks, we need to be ready. We need to be ready at all times, because we don't know what and when and how things are going to happen in this world. My daddy went home Wednesday night, and I walked out of here with him. I said, Daddy, I'll see you tomorrow night. He said, okay, son. I never talked to my daddy again. And I went and I found him laying in a bathroom floor. Cold. He didn't leave here Wednesday night thinking he was dying either. I beg and I plead you today, if you're not ready, that you get ready. And if you don't know what you got to do to get ready, I don't need to eat. I'll sit right out here and we'll talk and we'll study and we'll pray and we'll figure things out. Don't leave here today not ready. If you need encouragement, we're here for you because we love you. If you need to come, come while we stand and sing.